This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Yeah, play it. Play it from the rooftops, baby. It's a football Friday. What's happening? Good to be with you. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Hello,
That's
Seth.
That's right. Has been for 47 years.
Seth C. Payne.
Hey, your name. What's the loudmouth guy's name? I got into it with a motivational speaker once on air.
Because you did?
He had slandered Deshaun Watson. How dare he? I thought at the time. And he came on the show and he started giving his spiel about how he was mentally tough and Deshaun Watson wasn't, so I flipped out on him. He said, "Hey, what's your name? What's the name of the big mouth there?" And I said, "My name is Seth Copeland Payne." And it didn't get any better because of that. He didn't recognize. Yeah.
and Deshaun did not do anything to defend your side of the argument over the next few years.
Over the next several years. Well, no. This guy had a cockamamie take about how Deshaun shouldn't have been at the Clemson National Championship game because they had just lost in the playoffs.
Oh, like that. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. That there's something wrong with this picture. Should be devastated. So this guy, his take was that Deshaun should be devastated. So we're like, all right, let's bring this guy on. What the hell? And Paul and Meltzer and I brought him on. And he launches into his whole spiel about how devastated he was over like some bad things that had happened to him in his life. But then he realized, I need to pick myself up and move on. And this was like in the hallway right after his dad had died. So wait a second. Your story that you sell books based off of was how you rebounded like 3 minutes after your dad died. But somehow Deshaun Watson isn't supposed to go watch his alma mater play in the national championship game after you lose to the Colts. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I got no patience for that, dude.
I know you've watched Deshaun's press conference from yesterday. We'll get to some audio from it here in just a second. Overall, if you listen to the station, you've heard the high points sprinkled in throughout the shows yesterday. We're going to get to some of it this morning here for sure, early on in the show. Overall, how did you think Deshaun did yesterday in his press
conference? It's one of those things where he executed the game plan well. So whatever the game plan was, he executed that well. I think fair criticism from people will be, I haven't read any of the articles or anything criticizing it. It was that, okay, he didn't do a single thing to address the actual legal issues or any feelings about women or anything else. So I think largely this will have been framed. Tell me if I'm correct on this, Sean.
Okay.
Because I devoted myself to watching Amazon Prime last night.
For you.
Yeah. So the Bills and whatnot.
Oh, that's right. The football game was on.
Yeah, no, not Yellowstone. I'm done with that stupid show. I hope everybody dies. Every adult on there. Every adult can die on that show. Yeah, including Rip, everybody. I hope Rip falls into a well and dies upside down in a hole.
Go
drowning
die,
in
everybody.
Shallow water. So, freaking Rip. So anyway, I think that I'm guessing that there was a lot of criticism over the fact that, okay, like whether the NFL is just going to whitewash this and we're just going to move on by and nothing to see here.
That's been the – if there's been a criticism of the press conference that I've seen, it's been that. So let's hit that first, because Deshaun said in the outset – Deshaun did about a minute and a half lead-in where he was thanking everybody who helped him get to this point during the suspension. During that little kind of preamble to the press conference – he said that he's only taking football questions. So then the very first question out of the shoot was, what did you learn from counseling?
Sean, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time, and how do you apply that to now?
I respect your question, I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff, and I've been advised to stay away from that and keep that personal.
Okay, so that was the very first question that kind of set the tone, like, okay, you, and that's not even really a legal question, that was a question about counseling and what have you learned about yourself. And so I think once the media found out, all right, this is where the line is being drawn, there were very few questions the rest of the way that had anything to do even remotely close to the lawsuits. The only thing that got close to it was when he was asked a little later on, will there be a point where you do take non-football questions?
Sean, on August 18th, you said that you wanted to tell your side of the story at some point, and that people haven't been interested in listening to what you have to say. So at some point, will you take non-football questions down the line?
Like I said, at this time, I can't address any of that stuff. Who knows what the future holds, but right now I'm so locked in on just basically being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Seth, you're absolutely right. Where there was criticism for Deshaun yesterday, it was, and I saw Florio write this, and I'm sure there were others, but Florio wrote, well, this is interesting because in previous press conferences he's done, he did address the legal situation, and I would say, yeah, and it was a disaster. Do we need to remind people after he got his 11-game suspension and issued a written apology that he was saying stuff like this?
I just want to clarify what you said earlier. What I heard from you is you saying that you still maintain complete innocence, never did anything wrong to disrespect anyone, and you settled the suits and agreed to this punishment more to move on with your career, with your life, and that kind of thing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like the person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
Yeah, you totally proved your innocence. Like every time he talked about the legal stuff before, it turned into a disaster for him. And plus, he has an open lawsuit still. I think people need to point that out. Like, he does still have one lawsuit that Lauren Baxley has every intention of still suing Deshaun Watson. So I didn't have as big a problem with him yesterday kind of staying away from the legal stuff, especially given the fact that there is a game against the Texans coming up this Sunday. I thought he did fine. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm the crazy one. I thought he did okay.
He did. It was a matter of, he executed the game plan.
Yeah.
And you weren't going to be happy with that game plan no matter what. Like, Mac Jones last night wasn't happy with Matt Patricia's game plan.
No, he was not.
Was the press conference yesterday as good an effort or a better effort than Matt Patricia's game plan as an offensive coordinator
better.
In general?
Better. Yeah. Anything Matt Patricia, better.
Mac Jones at one point was caught on the sideline screaming what lip readers would suggest said looked like throw the bleeping ball, the bleeping either quick game or run game sucks. Either way, I don't know. They only ran the ball 11 times, so
wow.
I don't know if it was run game, quick game. Patricia at one point ran, took 5 minutes. They were down 17 points. There was 8 minutes left, and he used over 5 minutes to kick a field goal. Like in this one, they were operating at a snail's pace. That was the only other time that's happened this century, Sean, was in 2018 when the Matt Patricia-led Lions did it versus the Vikings.
Okay, well, that's his gimmick then. Well, to answer your question then, Deshaun Watson for sure executed a better game plan, or did, that game plan was better than whatever Patricia had going on.
I did not know what to think. Speaking of Matt Patricia, what did you think of the pencil in the snow cap?
With Deshaun, fake hustle. Fake hustle.
Deshaun had his pencil held by his ski cap.
Yeah.
So it was like vertically down. It almost looked like a microphone boom or something. Fake hustle?
Yes.
Just 100%. Showing that he'd just been in there grinding the film and taking notes.
Yeah, dude. Like, come on. Let's just take the damn pencil out and put it on the... Unless it's some sort of fashion statement that I'm not in tune with, I get older every day, Seth. So who knows? Maybe I leave today and I go to eat lunch somewhere out in a coffee shop or something, and there's a bunch of kids in there with pencils hanging out of their beanies. Who knows?
It's an upside down pencil. Is like that generation's upside down pineapple or something.
Yeah.
It signifies he's into something kinky.
Right.
And who knows what kinky even is anymore?
Well,
I don't know what
for
the,
Deshaun.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah. He did a good job as far as just, toeing the company line. But I think he didn't do a single thing to make anybody that's against him for him, which I don't know if that's going to happen or if it's possible right now.
Outside of Cleveland, I don't know that it's possible. Cleveland people seem to be very ready to move on to football with Deshaun Watson, understandably. All right, if you're looking for more football conversation, I would say keep it tuned right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, in your spare time, you can check out The Crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast, NFL insider Jazina Anderson, former cornerback Fred Smoot, actor Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebrities join The Crew to give you a peek behind the curtain, headlines across the NFL. Follow The Crew in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Sticking with Deshaun, he did have a message for all of you here in the city of Houston. Do we believe what Deshaun was dishing out yesterday for you, the Houstonians, in advance of his first game back here at NRG Stadium this weekend? That is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Bottom of the hour, we will get to the latest in Astros free agency. What are the rumors? Who are they after? Where are we at with Verlander? We will get to that at the bottom of the hour. Deshaun Watson had a message for all of you Houstonians out there. He's coming back to play at NRG Stadium this weekend. He's excited to get back on the football field, and he is excited to see all of you.
I'm excited. I'm excited to just play football in general in front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect the McNair family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, I play with are seeing, come up from, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, the most important thing is, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Do they? Do they, Deshaun? Do they know? Everybody in Houston pretty much knows that I love Houston. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Does he still has a place here. I don't know if he's aware of the lease state, the condition of his restaurants, because he defaulted on those leases.
He
so
did.
I assume he's talking about his house that he still might
yeah,
have.
Those are yeah. Houstonians that he does not respect. He didn't say that, or we didn't get that part of the cut, but at the end where he said, now the Houstonians I don't respect are my landlords for my Lefty's cheesesteak places. I do not respect
them. These
are
draconian cancellation policies.
I don't respect them. I don't respect their leases. I don't respect the terms of the leases. None of it.
What might keep him from selling his house on Legendary Lane? I'm guessing for one, maybe it's hard to get a contractor out to your place these days. Maybe the massage room hasn't been refitted yet. So he knows that it's going to, if he lists that thing online and the massage room is still kept as is with its three deadbolts and whatever that.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah, just a trap door, all this weird sex dungeon stuff.
You buying any of what he was just dishing out right there? I respect the McNairs. I respect this. I respect that.
I think I could say he probably, when you say respect the McNairs, maybe whatever issues he has with any individuals within the McNair family, he could still say the entire family as far as Janice and everybody else. I don't know.
This is what I think. I think he's finally ready to play football. He's finally in a state where he's gotten what he wants. So he can just say nice things about everybody now. You know, like he's got his guaranteed money. His suspension is over. He's paid his debt to the NFL. He's got one lawsuit left. So he can just get up in front of the microphone and say, I love everybody, because he's about to do what he loves again on Sunday.
The one thing that somebody pressed him on in the press conference the last time around several months ago was that whole, hey, if you're innocent, why did you settle? I understand the reasoning behind that, but I think not just with Deshaun, but with anybody, I could see, especially if I just got $250 million guaranteed, there's an element of the financial hedging of, okay, what, you know, no matter how much you feel about your innocence, that not all innocent people are found not guilty or not liable.
Yep.
And then B, just the amount of money that he's going to pay in legal fees to fight that for potentially 2 years. Like all that stuff. There's a financial hedging there. And then I think there's an emotional hedging too of trying to move on and play football while that's still hanging over your head. So I'm not even defending Deshaun in that. I've never felt like that's a valid argument. You know, I think people who are not guilty or not liable settle all the time.
Sure.
Especially if we get into the civil trial matter of things. And I think also he's got to the point now where I think people are pretty set in their opinion of him, and he's not going to clear his name no matter how innocent he feels. Like he probably figured like, well, my name's not going to be cleared in a lot of people's minds no matter what I do in trial. And also, I did some pretty wacky stuff that I have already admitted to. I don't need to go reliving through. I don't need to put my mom through all that. Like, the really kinky, weird stuff, yeah, you've only seen the surface of that. Let's get public with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at the stage with Deshaun now with these press conferences where I'm tired of getting angry at answers of his. Like, I'm just, you know, we play that one just more to have some fun with it than anything else. I don't think he's sincere about the Houston stuff. I think public Deshaun is probably drastically different than private Deshaun, and what Deshaun says at a press conference is probably, you know, there's not a ton of truth to stuff like that, I think, is my guess.
Yeah. I don't know. He's kind of he's a relatively quiet guy to begin with. You know, not like Andre Johnson quiet or anything.
No.
But I could... like I said yesterday, he's not really a chip on the shoulder type of guy.
No.
Like, he never has been, and I think that in this particular situation, I feel like he is genuinely trying to move on. He's not Baker Mayfield. He's not a guy that's going to go out there to prove all the doubters wrong or all that stuff. So that part of it, like whether you agree with it or think it should be that way or not, I feel like that part's genuine.
I do think that part is genuine. I do think that he has a great capacity to want to be liked. I think Deshaun likes being liked by people.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably his message to Houston. There's probably some of that baked in. Look, I always look at it and go, okay, what do we think about this answer? And if you get worked up about it, okay, well, what if he had said the opposite? Like, what if he got up there and said, screw Houston? Like, he's not going to do that, you know?
What is it? At one point, somebody had asked him about his teammates, and I felt like that was his chance to maybe pull a Washington Commanders style thing and start talking about other guys' transgressions. You know, like, oh, sure. Everybody wants to make a big deal out of me.
Yeah, but, yeah. Have you seen? They got Congress investigating them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Like, the Commanders brought up Brian Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a way to try to deflect attention away from them.
Oh,
I didn't
explain
that properly. I'm saying, like, what if it, hey, Kareem Hunt's out here, and he actually got caught on film doing stuff. I mean, what the heck? How come he's not up here at the podium? You guys seem to be cool with that. I didn't even do anything. Nobody caught me on film doing any of the stuff I did. I mean, there's no film of anything wrong. Yeah.
That would be great.
Bob Kraft. They got video out there somewhere. He outbid somebody.
They
that
do.
Video's out there somewhere,
they
man.
They do.
I wonder if Bob Kraft sits around rotten. Thinking about the fact that there's definitely a copy of that video out there somewhere.
Ugh. The Texans injury report was interesting yesterday. Derek Stingley Jr. still out with a hamstring. I'm guessing when the injury report comes out today and declares guys either out or questionable or whatever, I'm guessing Stingley will be out again. Kenyon Green was a DNP yesterday. He's been ill this week. He's got an illness limited on Wednesday, DNP yesterday, did not participate. Brandon Cooks popped up on the injury report, Seth. He was limited with a calf yesterday.
Is it a valid calf, do we suppose?
I don't know.
Or is
it
just a Laremy Tunsil wrist issue?
Yeah, or a Brandon Cooks wrist issue. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had a wrist
Cooks
issue
had a too. Wrist too earlier.
That was his wrist issue when he was – yeah.
Yeah.
I think he got that from making the wanking motion when he was when Nick Caserio was trying to talk to him. He
about culture.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. Brandon, I'd like evidently. To talk to you about culture for
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, speaking of Laremy Tunsil,
yeah.
not any of the other stuff
yeah,
that
yeah.
Ben might have dumped. So, speaking of Laremy Tunsil, it is crazy the turnaround in perception and image of Laremy Tunsil in one calendar year.
Yeah.
Because this week he's on the Texans website doing a fun, happy interview with DP Sidhu, where last year he was just MIA, nobody knew exactly what was wrong with him, if he'd ever be back. It's just this Texans team is like a season of The Sopranos. It's just for all I know, Laremy Tunsil tried to have Caserio murdered in the offseason, but now they're best buds.
Yeah.
Just like an episode of The Sopranos.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. One episode Uncle Junior's trying to have Tony whacked, and then the next episode Tony's like, "All right, I'll pay for your legal fees." Yeah. Same
kids,
thing.
In the movie The Sopranos, the TV show The Sopranos, Tony Soprano's mother suggested putting a hit out on her own son.
Yes.
And yet Tony still felt guilty for not taking care of her well enough.
A lot of psychoses on that show, man. No doubt.
It was good when they moved away from that annoying psychiatrist, though.
Yeah.
Like, too much of literature and movies and TV shows for really like a 40 or 50 year period was all like psychoanalyzing the characters, which all boiled down to the author psychoanalyzing himself, and it was laborious. Thankfully, with cognitive behavioral therapy replacing Freudianism, we've moved beyond all that crap, and we can get back to just killing people and making love.
Yeah. Like hey, Yellowstone, don't need the rodeo scenes anymore. We can do away with
those.
Yeah,
that's right. No, yeah, I'm done with Yellowstone. That is Yellowstone is the father that I'm killing.
You ranted for about 40 seconds, but it was epic. And you took a shot at Rip, which was he's been kind of a protected guy from fans and whatnot.
Everybody treats Rip like he's a victim or something. Like, dude, like he's the most psychotically murderous guy on the show. And he lets his wife throw his testicles in the creek by the daily.
Yep.
So no. There's no. What's the word when you commute? I'm not going to commute his sentence. He's dying too.
Are you with Yellowstone real quick? Where you hate the show, you don't want to watch it anymore, or is it a productive hate where you like dislike the characters?
No. It's not productive at all. Like I don't like any of the characters.
Got you.
I really despise the television show.
Got you.
Last night was my last. Before the Bills game started, I sat down and I tried to watch the first half. I think we're in episode 3 or something of this. It was a spoiler alert, real quick. But it's Beth makes everybody go to the bar, and the governor's daughter hits a woman over the head with a beer bottle. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm done with her. I'm done with Rip. I'm done with the whole thing. All those cowhands, I hope they get trampled by their horses and the horses eat them. I really do. I do.
I believe you.
The new skinny orphan kid, too. Is he an adult yet?
That's the same kid. It's the same kid.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to meth. Okay. I don't know if he's 18 yet or not. If he is, he can go ahead.
Go die already. Right?
Yeah, he can go ahead and suck on a tailpipe and die. Yeah, I don't. I hate that whole show. I hate all of them. I hate all of them except for the Casey's kid.
Yeah. Oh, Tate.
Yeah, Tate's all right.
Yeah, he's okay. That's so random. Join the drive with Sterner and Hughley at the Stadium Bar in Spring today. Miller Lite Football Friday, 2 to 6. Hang out with the fellas up in Spring. If you're up on that north side, go check them out at the Stadium Bar in Spring for a Miller Lite Football Friday. Up next, what's the latest on Justin Verlander, Wilson Contreras, Michael Brantley? What's the latest on all of them when it comes to Astros free agency? We'll get you up to speed next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll get back to football in just a little bit, but the latest on the Astros in free agency. This is from John Heyman, who I believe is an Odyssey MLB insider in addition to a writer for the New York Post.
He is an insider.
Yep. He goes on
the afternoon show sometimes.
Yep, he sure does. I'm looking at an article that he wrote yesterday in the New York Post, and it says this. Word is the Astros and Justin Verlander are, quote, far apart, end quote.
What?
In talks.
No.
Verlander seeking $130 million for 3 years, the Max Scherzer deal, as folks like to call it. And the Astros, with their deep rotation, seem pessimistic on Verlander, which may open things up for the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees. One person familiar with the Astros' thinking said, quote, quietly, they prefer not to sign him for 3 years. Verlander was great in season, but they carried him in the postseason. No one in Houston wants to go 3 years, another source added. I 100% believe this. I believe the Astros don't want to go 3 years on Verlander. I believe Verlander is seeking Scherzer money. I still am of the opinion that I'm dubious that he's going to get Scherzer money from somebody. The Dodgers, Mets, Yankees are the teams most often mentioned for Verlander. I just feel like that Scherzer deal is an outlier, and Scherzer himself getting injured this year, and Verlander getting a little banged up with the calf injury and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's going to be 40.
That's the whole – he's going to be 40, and there's so many unknowns. As incredible a season as he had, his calf gave out on him at the end of the year, and then he himself blamed the calf injury, you know, inappropriately so. He gave that as the reason that he was mechanically just not quite right in the playoffs and not that great in the playoffs. And you have to wonder, okay, he had that great season, but it was also after giving the rest of his body 2 years off because he pitched one game in that entire stretch. And, yes, his UCL had to be repaired, but that body of his at that age had a whole lot of rest and rejuvenation. What's it going to be like with a short off season, mind you, because of the World Series run? I think that's going to create a lot of doubt in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
Now, baseball doesn't do incentives the way football does, but it's a shame because it would be kind of a great, be a good incentive-based contract.
So an incentive-based a $36 million a year contract with the Astros that's based on the number of innings he pitches.
What if it were, or not a number of innings even. Yeah, certain benchmarks that would make it a record-breaking contract if he came through on it. Yeah. Let's get crazy here. Let's think outside the box.
Look,
you know?
If I knew he was going to win the Cy Young Award again, I would pay him $45 million. Like that the season he just had is worth $45 million. There's
right.
No question. It's
but to do it as an incentive for him to, because he wants $45 million. So to do it as an incentive, it would have to be, okay, if you do that, you're going to get $55 million.
Oh, you know? Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
He thinks he can go out and get 40-plus just – maybe he can. Maybe somebody's offering him a 1 or 2 year deal for that much. I also think, too, I used to think, okay, Verlander knows and understands that the Astros and their pitching staff – kind of resurrected him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was not pitching the way he has with the Astros for the previous several years. And I think that some of that's gone just now because so many teams have started utilizing all the same things that the Astros do. And you look at various guys like Charlie Morton or Garrett Cole, whose careers were resurrected by the Astros, and then they went on and just kept on producing after they left.
Yep.
So I think they know how to use the tools and resources that they learned with the Astros when they go elsewhere. And now more than anything, I worry that, Verlander seems to be one of the smartest of all those guys, that he'll probably be able to teach – if he's going to teach the Dodgers or the Yankees or any of those other teams some of the little tricks of the trade or how to work with the analytics and pitchers together, then that's a little bit more of the brain trust leaving the Astros.
Just to close the Verlander portion of this free agency update out, Heyman goes on to say, while Jacob deGrom still appears to be the Mets' top choice and they'd likely go 3 years for him at close to $40 million per, word is the Mets are, quote, tempted by a Verlander-Scherzer reunion. They, of course, pitched together in Detroit. They aim to sign one among DeGrom, Verlander, and Carlos Rodon, the former White Sox pitcher, plus one or two more starters. So the Mets are basically doing what the Astros are doing, you know, stacking up a bunch of really good starting pitchers, but doing it for 8 jillion% more in salary.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They want to get one of DeGrom, Verlander, or Rodon. They've already got Scherzer, and they'd like to add one or two more starters in free agency. Like, cool, bro.
What is it about New York sports teams that just go buck wild when the new owner takes over. The Nets were this way.
Yeah.
Remember, Prokhorov was just going to spend any amount of money in the universe to put together a winning staff.
How'd that work?
The Jaguars, when they came in 95, they ended up being similar to, like, over the first several years, they had all this salary cap space, and they spent and spent and spent. And I remember old guard teams like the Steelers were just besides themselves with rage about how aggressive the Jaguars were at spending money. Ultimately, it nipped them in the bud, except the Jaguars used the expansion draft really effectively, too. Yeah. Like, they were able to wipe out a lot of the irresponsible spending by the expansion draft and by, like, increases in the cap with the CBA and all that. So there's a new owners probably. I guess that's why the NFL is probably so careful about who they allow to be an owner, because they just don't want somebody to come in and unduly rock the boat.
Yep.
And like in baseball and basketball, I wonder if those two experiences have them rethinking exactly what kind of owners they are. And I bet in basketball they're probably cool with a lot of these hedge fund types buying teams, because they're going to be careful generally about how much they spend, unless you're the Warriors, because you're just making money hand over fist.
Yeah, and your team's really good, and you've won some championships. Continuing with the little Astros shopping list update here, Wilson Contreras' most likely landing spots. This is according to John Heyman of the New York Post. Wilson Contreras, the former catcher for the Cubs, who the Astros had a deal lined up for at the trade deadline for Jose Urquidy. It was an Urquidy for Contreras deal. Contreras, a really good hitting catcher. The Astros are the Cardinals. The Marlins checked in, but he's pricey, is what Heyman says. So he's a little little too pricey for the Marlins. Those Florida teams like to shop in the bargain bin. They don't spend a lot of time in the Dior store, to quote Carlos Correa.
They're checking their revenue sharing account every day.
Yes.
They're like, oh, look at that, it's still coming in, huh? We must be doing something right. Let's go.
Another wire from Steve Cohen. Awesome.
Cheater's like, there's Cuban food to eat out here. The Astros are busy stacking up actual Cuban baseball players, where Jeter, judging by his jowls, is just eating a whole lot of Cuban food.
Yes. So, yeah. He's jowly these days. Yeah. So Contreras is most likely landing spots, Astros or Cardinals. Christian Vasquez, former Astro, maybe plan B for the Cardinals. He too has a nice market, according to Heyman. If they don't get Contreras, I wouldn't mind bringing Vasquez back if he wants to split time with Maldi again. I liked Vasquez. He was fun.
Yeah.
The other Astro update in this piece is about Michael Brantley. The Astros are also seeking a corner outfielder, and if Michael Brantley proves healthy, he is the, quote, perfect fit and value for the Astros.
Brantley, wait, who?
Brantley.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Brantley is, as long as his shoulder's fine, I expect them to have Brantley back, Sean. That's my feel on this. I was expecting them to have Verlander back too. So and I haven't let go of that completely. I feel like Verlander is a much better businessman than we ever want to admit, because we like to think of our baseball players are all just Billy White Shoes Johnson, just pure and innocent as the driven snow. But Verlander's a shark, baby. He knows how to get the best. He knows how to get the best deal.
I think part of your feeling on Verlander, and I was with you on that, I don't feel as optimistic about that. But I think Verlander is viewed as a Jim Crane guy, I'll call it. You know, golfs at his course, you know, tight with Jim Crane. I think Michael Brantley is a low-key Jim Crane guy, too. And I think we saw that when it looked like Brantley was going to Toronto a couple years ago, and then out of nowhere, he gets 2 years, $32 million to come back to the Astros.
Reported that he was all but...
He was gone.
Signed, right? Yeah. He was gone. He was on his way there. So that was... That's a really good... The Crane guy, the Jim Crane guy. Crane's the opposite of O'Brien. Remember, O'Brien used to have his doghouse, like the Kiki QT doghouse?
Yeah.
Crane may have a doghouse too, but he seems to definitely have the poodle palace that just where like so certain members of this team are gonna get a little extra. The owner's actually gonna come in and check on these guys as opposed to everybody else where he's like, I'll read the report at the end of the month.
O'Brien had a poodle palace. The problem was he populated it with guys like Nick Martin. That was the issue.
Right. Like, his poodle palace was jammed tight like a clown car of sadness.
With mutts. Yeah. They weren't even poodles. They were like 25% poodles.
Like one of those wild dogs in the Bahamas or one of the islands down there. They just a bunch of mangy mutts.
That was what
O'Brien was into.
Yeah. Like had a little bit of poodle in it. They're like, yeah, here's Nick Martin, our Chihuahua doodle. Yeah. Okay. All right. But if you recall, quasi general manager Jeff Bagwell said earlier this week that in a perfect world, Yordan Alvarez would be playing left field 45% of the time.
I think if you look at left field as obviously something we're going to think about, but I want Yordan to play, you know, 45, 50% of the games in left field. I think it's good for him. I think mentally it's good. He enjoys it, so that's important. So there's going to have to be some way we figure out, you know, left fielder, switch DH, first base. You know, you can use the DH a lot in this, but I need Yordan to play about 45% of the games.
I've been thinking about this a lot, the way that Bagwell was talking. I do think that I think now that he's taking more of a front-facing representation of the organization, and even though he was involved in a lot of high-end meetings during this season and everything, it's not like this is as new as a lot of people are making it out to be. But him standing in front of the microphone and talking in this capacity is kind of new. I think he's just got to tweak the way he talks a little bit. I think when I really genuinely feel that when he's talking there, he's talking about his personal decision making or like what his opinions are, and he doesn't quite realize that people are interpreting it as this is what the organization's going to do. So I think he's just got to tweak it a little bit.
I agree. I do think, and we had some fun with that audio. Like, look, he's already sitting in the general manager's chair. He's very first person with these. We had some fun with it. I think some of it too, Seth, is he's very emotionally invested in this team. He's a fan of the team. You know what I mean? Like Bagwell, you know, he sits in the crowd and watches the games like we do. I think there's an emotional investment. When I hear the I and the we with Bagwell, I think it's less about his role with the team and it's more about his love for the team, you know, when he says those things. But you're right.
Yeah.
Like but people are going to misinterpret that, and especially when you have a front office that's in a state of flux, a GM that just left to some criticism from national media types. Yeah, you probably do need to watch your wording, I guess.
Well, that's where I think that it's been mischaracterized as somehow like a James Click versus Jeff Bagwell thing.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way for people to visualize it, and based on the sound clips they hear and the quotes they read, where my understanding is that it's not that at all. That it's, you know, it's like any other organization. There are a lot of people with a lot of voices, and that Crane ultimately, it's not like Click and Bagwell were the only two people Crane interacts with on a daily basis.
Right.
So there was a lot more that went into that decision than, like, Baggy doesn't like analytics as much as some other people do. So get rid of the GM. And I'll make another prediction, Sean. When the Astros do hire a GM, guess what? He's going to be into analytics.
Yeah.
Like, it's not – go ahead and find the GM out there that's just going to come in and be like, we're only going to have guys who have the good face. I want a guy who, I'm going to judge him nothing but by 1957 standards. There's not – it's going to be an analytically minded general manager.
Yes, yeah. We're back to sacrifice button. We got to move guys over, play a little small ball.
I come around here, I walk in, I don't see a single man here. You know why? I don't see a tobacco in a cheek here. Why are you even growing any hair on your gonads? Are you going to not have any tobacco? Yeah.
We have a few texts here on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page.
Trailer Wheel and Frame!
Yes, sir. Kenyon Green, this is 5336. Kenyon Green's illness is can't block anyone itis. Okay, that's a little. That was a cheap shot.
Hey, man.
Back off. Of
I wonder
Green.
What the illness is. I hope it wasn't Thanksgiving induced or anything.
Yeah, I hope. Well,
did they play a game since Thanksgiving? Everything's a blur.
Yeah. I thought he was okay against Miami, by the way. I was focused in on him quite a bit during that game because it's been so ragged the last month or so for Kenyon Green. When I was dialed in on him, I'm like, okay, Kenyon Green did a pretty decent job. I know they got to rush up the middle a few times. more than a few, but I that usually looked like it was Cannon and Quesenberry that were messing up.
Yeah, I'll accept that. Okay. I'm thinking of one specific run play, but it wasn't. Did he make improvement? I think that he looked like less of a liability. I'll say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I trust your opinion.
Yeah. No. I'm going in my mind. I'm going back through some of the negative plays and the bad plays, and especially in the run game. Quesenberry was a big cause of a lot of it, as were the tackles at times. So it wasn't. I don't want to lower my standards for this team. I think if I saw that performance out of a rookie and I hadn't known anything else, yeah, I would have said, okay, Kenyon Green is he's close to where he should be as a rookie.
4653. Tunsil has 2 years left on his deal. Just to be clear, he's got 1 year left after this. So he's got this year and next year. Text message: if the Texans take a franchise QB, they might as well sign Tunsil to an extension. I'm cool with having Laremy Tunsil at top of tackle, top of market tackle money. They're going to have to spend money on somebody at some point. Yeah. You know.
Look, and also, listen, I'm not going to wait around until the environment is pristine to draft a quarterback. Whenever somebody says like I don't want to draft a quarterback and have him come into this situation, guess what? Like the vast majority of a huge chunk of really good quarterbacks were drafted into awful situations. Yeah. They managed to survive. It's kind of like when you don't bench a quarterback because you don't want to destroy his psyche. All right, well, if his psyche's going to be destroyed, then he ain't the guy for us, because being an NFL quarterback has a little bit of adversity attached to it. And I don't also think that the offensive line is as far off from being being respectable as it might feel at times. So they're like a Kenyon Green development and one good free agency signing away from having a respectable offensive line. And even if not, then okay, so be it. The guy gets hit a few times. It's 2022. A rookie next year would be coming here in 2023. This is not the same as David Carr playing back when you were allowed to pick guys up and body slam them. Not to mention David Carr himself refused to throw the ball away, you know, and guess what? David Carr wasn't meant to be. David Carr took a record number of sacks, partly because David Carr was not good at getting rid of the football.
Yep.
So guess what? He wasn't meant to be a franchise quarterback.
That's right.
Like, it's just as simple as that. And, you know, likewise with Andrew Luck. You know why Andrew Luck took so many hits? Because Andrew Luck took too many hits and it was on him.
Yeah.
You know, like Peyton Manning was playing behind worse offensive lines than him. And Peyton hardly ever got hit.
Yep. I would say the same thing about
cowardly.
I'd say something similar about Deshaun when he was taking all those sacks in 2018. Like, that offensive line was not good, but Deshaun will hold the ball forever trying to make a play.
That's one thing that they've really learned by monitoring this stuff. Sacks taken is much more about the quarterback than the offensive line. Now, that doesn't mean that the protection doesn't matter. It does. It's just as far as the actual sack stat. Some quarterbacks are just really good at not taking sacks, and other ones are horrendous at it, no matter how good their offensive line is in front of them.
All right, little Deshaun Watson in the next segment. If you're just getting in your car, he met with the media yesterday. There was an overriding theme, though, with the criticism for Deshaun Watson's press conference yesterday. We'll tell you what it was. Also, the latest on Antonio Brown is starting to veer into some kind of scary territory with Antonio Brown. We will get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.